Good morning. Wonderful that you could all join us here on the third Sunday of Easter at what is becoming a new normal that nobody likes. I know that I don't like this new normal. I'm sure that none of you at home like this new normal, and yet it's here with us for a while at least. With that being said, there's just a couple quick announcements that I have. I think some of the ladies who have been calling and checking up on everybody in the next couple weeks or so, they're going to be calling everybody just with a couple of different simple questions about when it is appropriate and when the government does kind of open us up for services. Just a couple questions on how comfortable you are with meeting together and how comfortable you might be if we have to do two different services. So some of those questions will be asked there, and just give them your honest feedback and opinion on that. And then also, we're going to be starting up, starting this week. I was going to start it this Sunday, but I remembered I didn't tell any of you. So we're going to be starting this week a Bible study, so that even during this time of oddity, we're going to be able to study God's Word together, even though that might be a little bit weird. We're going to start with the book of Leviticus, and we're going to hear how Christ is the book of Leviticus. It's all about Him. We're going to have that two different times during the week, about 20 to 25 minute sessions. Both will be posted starting at 9 a.m. on Thursday and then 9 a.m. on Sunday. And hopefully that'll be good for you. I think we're going to try and get those both on the Facebook live page and also on our website. So again, this Thursday at 9 a.m. and then next Sunday at 9 a.m. they'll be available. So, with that said, we are following the order of Matins, as always. That is found on page 219. And then if you've got a ribbon in your hymnal, 116, Psalm 116. So Psalm 116, Matins is on page 219. But our opening hymn for today is hymn 464, 464.
From death's dread sting, thy servant
Turn to page 219, the order of matins.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. Thus He is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, let us worship Him.
Psalm 116.
I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." For our responsory, we turn to page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Give
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give Him the honor to His name. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give Him the honor to His name. Alleluia, alleluia.
For our sermon hymn, we turn to hymn 476, Who Are You Who Walk in Sorrow? 476.
Love.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the third Sunday of Easter comes from our gospel reading of Luke. And Jesus said, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Thus far the text. These two disciples are sad. It says so in our text. It's Easter, but they don't know it. And their hopes and dreams have come crashing down around them. A stranger comes into their midst, and they, with faces cast down, tell him everything that has happened in Jerusalem the last couple of days. Jesus, who is mighty in power, a great prophet, known by God. He claimed many things, and many believed in all of the things that he said. He was the one to come. He was the Messiah. He was the one who was going to change all of their lives and for the better, until he didn't. He was the one who was going to give everything that they needed, meaning to their lives and hope and purpose, until he wasn't. He didn't, and he wasn't, because he died. And not just died, but died in the most vivid and absolute way possible, that proved to all the world and proved to them that he was most certainly not who they had hoped he was. Sure, some of the women had gone to the tomb, come back saying that it was empty and an angel had spoken to them. And Peter and John, they ran to that tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but none of that made anything more certain than anything else, just that the tomb was empty. So it seems as if this Jesus wasn't going to be the one to redeem Israel, because no redeemer is crucified. No savior is placed into a tomb, not like that. And so to say that these disciples are sad is an understatement. They're sad, but not just sad. They're dejected, they're gut-punched, they're gobsmacked, they're depressed beyond anything that they've ever experienced before. Not just because they lost a friend, and they certainly had lost a friend. And it wasn't just that they lost a Messiah either. But the events of the last 3 days had proved to them and to everyone else that Jesus was certainly not going to bring about the changes in their lives that they had so dearly hoped for. Everything that was evil wasn't going to miraculously be turned good. All the things that didn't make sense today were still not going to make sense tomorrow. Everything in this sinful world, with its sinful sin and all the sinful sinners, was still going to be there. So these disciples had lost all hope. Jesus didn't turn out to be the Jesus that they thought he was going to be. So now they're just going back home. They're going to try and restart their lives under this heavy cloud of foolishness that was going to hover over them the remainder of their days. So Jesus, he hears all of this. And I assume with a breath of exasperation says something in return. But what is it? What is he going to say? What is he going to say to these disciples? These disciples who are so upset that their Messiah turned out to be a giant fraud. Should he give them a hug and promise them that everything is going to be all right? Perhaps he should tell them to just remember the good times. Focus on that. Those good time memories are going to be the things that make them feel better. Or maybe he should give them a list to accomplish, something to put their hands to, a checklist, if you will, in order to make sure that they'll be able to turn these lemons of theirs into lemonade. Those are the things that we would expect, that we would do if we saw someone in such desperate need. Those are the things that we would hope someone would do for us in desperate times. But Jesus, he doesn't do any of that. Instead, he looks them square in the face and he calls them fools. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Foolish and slow of heart. This is the way that Jesus first speaks to his distraught disciples. And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interprets to them in all of Scripture the things concerning himself. No pithy little sayings, no interesting little stories, no funny little anecdotes, good time memories, no jokes, no tips or tricks or suggestions or pieces of advice, just the boring old Word of God spoken to them and explained. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Amazing that Jesus uses nothing else, speaks nothing else but his word to bring comfort to his disciples. But let's be fair to these two disciples. They're kind of like Thomas, weren't they? In the way that they knew what had happened to Jesus and couldn't really understand everything that he had been saying to them over the last 3 years. They expected something big out of Jesus. They expected something big from Jesus, but he didn't give it to them. And they were sad. They were sad and confused and scared and probably a little bit angry. Now, they weren't like you and me. We know the rest of the story, don't we? We know right here and right now that Jesus is risen from the dead. We have that Easter joy that Easter is supposed to bring. We get it. We understand all of it. It all makes sense. That's why we never seem to find ourselves depressed or dejected or trapped in our homes with loneliness and despair. Or maybe, just maybe, we aren't that much different than these two disciples, even though we know the rest of the story. What is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Certainly he's your Savior, but what does that mean? These two disciples believed that Jesus was their Messiah. They just had the wrong idea of what a Messiah was. Is it any wonder that the sinner in us sometimes has the wrong idea of what kind of Messiah Jesus is? If truth be told, there are certainly times in all of our lives, likely we're going through one of those times right now, when we don't really get it. When we want Jesus to be a Messiah of our own making. We want a Jesus that does the things that we see fit, who helps us in the ways that we are sure that he will, who puts an end to things according to our good time, who does things for us that we know that he should. These two distraught disciples are that way because their Messiah didn't turn out to be the Messiah they assumed he was. We might be a little bit different from them. We might know that he's risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, but I ask you, how many of us are still disappointed by Jesus? Maybe that isn't fair. I'll just speak for myself. Jesus disappoints me all the time. I know that might sound weird and strange to hear from your pastor, but at the end of the day, I'm just a sinner who wants the things that a sinner wants, and because Jesus doesn't give to the sinner what the sinner wants, I can't help but be disappointed by him all the time. I want the resurrected Christ to make everything better. I do. I want the bad things that happen to not happen anymore. I want all the awful things of this world, the wars and the terrorism and the murder and the violence, the economic shutdown and struggles, the world shutting down viruses, the political divisiveness inside the church and outside of the church, everything that I see on TV and read in the news, I want Jesus to put an end to stop it, to stop it all in the way that I think he should. But he never does. And I want to stop feeling sad, and bitter, and depressed. I want people to stop treating me poorly. I want brothers and sisters in Christ to always act like the Christians that I think they should. I want to be able to gather together here in this sanctuary as the body of Christ. I want to be able to go to the playground with my kids or go to the store without wearing a mask. Jesus is risen from the dead, after all. Doesn't that mean that all of this stuff should happen? I don't want to watch my loved ones die. And when they do, I want the heartache to stop. I don't like the tears. I don't like the loneliness. I don't like any of it. And goodness, doesn't Easter mean that all of that should stop too? I thought the victory was mine. Why does it feel as if I'm defeated? And if he won't stop all of this from happening, well, at least I should be able to make sense of everything. You would think that I would be able to understand it all with clarity so clear that everything just falls into place. But that doesn't happen either. Not all the time. Not most of the time. And maybe Jesus isn't the Jesus that I thought he was. And the truth is, he isn't. Jesus isn't the Jesus that I want. He is the Jesus that I need. He doesn't fix everything in my life the way that I believe that he should. He doesn't end all sadness and take away all tears here on earth. He doesn't make me happy all the time. But that doesn't mean that he isn't my Savior. It just means that he isn't the Savior that I want him to be. And that, if I'm honest with myself, is a good thing. Jesus opens up Scripture to these two disciples, to us, right here today, and shows how it's all about him. He is the golden thread that's woven throughout every single page that holds them all together. But more than that, he's the red blood splattered on every single page that speaks to the type of Savior that he actually is for us. He is a Savior that doesn't make everything all right by pretending that sin doesn't exist. Instead, he's a Savior that forgives sin, that has died for that sin. And he's a Savior that gives that forgiveness to me here in time and space, gives himself to me in word and water and bread and wine. He isn't a Savior that does away with death like I think he should. But he does do away with it. And somehow, beyond all my reasoning, he actually works through death to bring me life. He works through suffering to bring himself closer to me. He works through crosses and trials and fastings to make himself known to me and to you in his word. The disciples, they had their eyes opened when Jesus reclined at table with them and broke bread. And then they got it. Then they realized that this man standing before them was Jesus, their Savior, their real and true Savior. And he had been risen from the dead. And because he had been risen from the dead, everything was going to be all right. Not in the sense that bad things were no longer going to happen to them, that unseen viruses wouldn't still bring the world to a standstill, but in the sense that he was going to be with them always, through everything, to the very end of the age, through all things, good and evil. And through it all, he would forgive their sins and give them life and salvation, even when they couldn't understand all of it, even when not everything made sense. And the same's true for you. Jesus is with you in the proclamation of his word, in your baptism, in the breaking of the bread. It is him, risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he is for you. He is for you, even and especially when nothing makes sense, when there's a new normal that none of us like. when sin still assails you, when depression and loneliness still assault you, when death still comes creeping up behind you, when Satan still comes whispering in your ears, Jesus is for you. And maybe that's why this hurts so much. Because right now we're in a time of fasting, when the things of God are not as readily available to us as we would hope. We know that Jesus is present with us in the breaking of the bread. He truly is with us in this holy meal. But right now, this meal is difficult to come by. But maybe, just maybe, our Lord will work through this fasting as well, in order to instill in all of us a greater desire to receive Him and His meal. And maybe Jesus was on to something too when He opened up the Scriptures for those two disciples, almost as if Jesus is present with us in His Word, because He is the very Word made flesh. And when we are forced to enter into a fast of His meal, perhaps that means that we're given a greater opportunity to receive Him and His Word, reminded daily that we have Him, or better said, He has us in our baptisms. And hopefully this time of fasting drives us to His Word more every day as individuals and married couples and families and as a congregation. The truth of the matter is, Jesus is for you. He is for you, even when it doesn't feel like it. For you, when you're sure that He isn't, when you're sure that He isn't the Savior that you thought He was. Because, and thanks be to God for this, He isn't the Savior that you thought He was. He's the Savior that you need, not the one that you want. And we stand in that promise, especially during these times of uncertainty, because the Savior that we need is far, far better than the Savior that we want. In the name of Jesus, amen. We turn in our hymnals to page 223 and the Te Deum. We praise You, O God, we acknowledge You to be the Lord. All the earth now worships You, the Father everlasting. To You all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To You cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of Your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise You. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise You. The noble army of martyrs praise You. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge You. The Father of an infinite majesty, Your adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When You took upon Yourself to deliver man, humbled Yourself to be born of a virgin. When You had overcome the
sharpness of death. You open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you, and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as our trust is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted, let me never be confounded.
Turn to the Kyrie on page 227.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer, and let thy word come to you.
You have heard our pleas for mercy, O Lord, and given up your Son to be our Savior. Hear us now as we come to you on behalf of ourselves and all people according to their needs. Our hearts have burned in us, O Lord, as your word has been read and preached. Keep our faith from growing cold and grant us grace that we may not waver in faith or succumb to temptation. Give to us and to your children receptive hearts that we may hear and hearing believe and believing be steadfast in this faith and hope all of our days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have cleansed us, O Lord, with water and the word in baptism, and you marked us as your own people. Give to us grace that we may live in faith, lifting up your name in word and deed for as long as we live. Guide us that our souls, purified by obedience to the truth, we may love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless your church, O Lord, that she may welcome the stranger in Christ's name and manifest the unity of the faith in the bonds of love. Gather together those who are separated. Preserve their faith by your word until all precautions and shelter measures have passed. Bless Matthew, presiding in our synod, Roger, our district president, Pete, our circuit visitor, and all pastors. Bless those training for church work vocations. Bless each of us as we live out our baptismal vocation of worship, witness, prayer, and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guard our nation, O Lord, that we may enjoy peace and security in the face of threat and danger. Bless Donald, our president, the Congress of the United States, Jared, our governor, and all state and local officials, that they may fulfill their offices faithfully. Bless all emergency and medical workers and the members of the armed forces who protect us, and teach the nations the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Deliver us from all of our afflictions and grant us strength to bear our burdens, O Lord. Hear us in particular for those whom we name in our hearts. According to your gracious will, heal the sick, relieve those who suffer, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Stay with us, O Lord, and be our strength in weakness and our hope in time of despair. Your gracious will once kept the saints in faith even unto death. Keep us, we pray, with them in the faith and fear, that we may be found faithful when Christ comes again in his glory to bring to fulfillment all things once and forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through the breaking of the bread, O Lord, feed us upon the flesh of Christ and grant us to drink his blood in faith. Forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, build up our unity as a congregation and synod, and equip us through this communion to love you and love one another as you have loved us. Preserve the faith of those who wish to receive this sacrament in the presence of this congregation but cannot, and grant them their desire soon, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept, O Lord, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving we bring for all your goodness and generosity. And with our song of praise, accept our tithes and offerings, that your church may have the resources to proclaim your gospel and care for the poor and those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and whatever other things we need, O Lord, we pray you to grant us in the name of and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death has made full atonement for our sin and whose resurrection has granted to us the promise of our own joyful resurrection to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us conclude with hymn 483, with high delight, let us unite. 483. God he firm from death.
He who gave His life for us, life renewing. Let praises ring, give thanks and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honors be by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall His love give us above, from misery and death set free, all joy and full consolation.
The Lord be with you.